Hello and welcome to Virago Voices podcast. This is episode 3 of Virago Health. This podcast is all about women's empowerment, and Virago Health is a means of empowering women to take control of their own health by providing them with the knowledge that they require to do so. If you're just joining us for this podcast, my name is Victoria and I'm a junior doctor. This is the third episode of a 5-part series on contraception. Last week we talked about the coil, what it is, how it works and how it's inserted, and the pros and cons. I definitely advise listening to episode 1, which is all about how contraception works. It's only 9 minutes long, before listening to this or this podcast or the last podcast. Just because then the terms, etc., will make more sense. I've also posted some helpful diagrams on the Virago Voices Instagram page, which is at @Virago_voices, which labels the female reproductive system and outlines the ways in which contraception acts. So remember to refer to these if you need any help with any terms, or drop me a DM. The feedback from last week's episode was fantastic, with Rachel from London commenting on how she loved the description of the coil not actually being coiled in shape, and Heather from Belfast messaging to say that she loved the podcast so far. I am so encouraged to hear all of your positive feedback and encourage you all to drop me a message with any comments, feedback or questions that I can answer or share on next week's episode. And if you love the podcast, I have a little something for you to get involved with, which I will talk about at the end of today's episode. So without further ado, as I talked about on last week's show, we have an exciting guest with us. We have Ree, who is a fourth year medical student at Southampton Uni and an aspiring obs and gynae doctor, who's going to talk to us about the implant and how it works and how it's inserted and the pros and cons. Ree is currently a medical student, as I said, and has her own Instagram account, @ReeStudies, which I've tagged in our Instagram. And give her a follow. She tracks her progress through medical school and her placements. It's very cool and interesting to get an insight into the life of a medical student. So without further ado, I'll pass you over to my conversation with Ree earlier today. I apologise in advance for the sound quality. It was conducted over Zoom and not in person due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But yes, so I'll hand the floor over to Ree to talk about the implant.
So hi Ree, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. This is the first time we've done anything like this, so it's super exciting. And thank you for being on. I'm just going to hand over to you and let you teach us about the implant. So when you're ready.
Okay, thank you very much. So today I'm going to be talking about the contraceptive implant. So the implant is a small, flexible plastic rod shaped a little bit like a matchstick that's inserted into the upper arm. And the way it works is by releasing a hormone called progesterone over the course of 3 years, which will act to prevent pregnancy. So if inserted correctly, it's over 99% effective and is thought to be one of the most effective methods of contraception there is, purely because there's no room for user error. So it is available for use for people between the ages of 18 and 40. And the way it works is it stops eggs from being released by the ovaries. So similarly to the coil last week, only sort of the other way around, its main function is to stop the eggs being released from the ovaries to prevent pregnancy. But it also has other minor functions, such as making the womb a less inviting place for a pregnancy to grow. And it also thickens the mucus that surrounds the outside of the womb, which stops sperm from entering as well, so that it prevents pregnancies in 3 separate ways that all work together to have the overall desired effect. So with the implant, it can be inserted on any day of the period. If it's inserted between days 1 and 5, this means that you're protected straight away from pregnancy and don't need any other methods of contraception. However, if it's inserted on any other day, or if the patient for any reason doesn't know what day they're in their menstrual cycle, as long as they can be confirmed that they aren't pregnant at the time of insertion, condoms are recommended for 7 days, and then you're protected for good for the 3 years. So the implant is injected into the upper arm. So because of its thin shape, the way it works is a local anesthetic is injected into the arm just to numb the area. And then the implant is injected using a small device right into the arm. So it is, they tend to use your non-dominant, so your non-writing arm, just to reduce the amount of bother it can cause patients, as things like pain or bruising might come up the day of or day after insertion. So it's about 10 centimeters away from the elbow on the upper arm, and it's injected in using a small device. And yeah, once the plasters are ready to come off, it heals relatively well, and it's quite a complication-free procedure. So similarly to the coil again, patients are recommended to have a little feel every now and again just to see if they can feel that the implant is in the right place. If for any reason the implant can't be felt, they would again, it would be recommended to use condoms just until it's rectified, as it might not be 100% effective if it's not in the right place. So there are quite a lot of benefits of having a method of contraception like the implant. So it's very long acting. So similarly to the coil again, you can just pop it in and you don't need to really worry about it. It's not like the pill where you can forget to take it. So it's really reliable and really effective. If you suffer with period pain or ovulation pain, the implant has been proven that it can improve that in a lot of patients. Obviously, you can't guarantee this for everyone, but it is thought to improve period pain, ovulation pain, and can make some people's periods lighter as well if they are heavy, or it can even make them stop completely in a certain amount of cases. Also, a lot of the contraceptive pills have a lot of people who can't actually take them. So things like if you've got a family history of blood clots, or if you have a certain BMI, you are not allowed to take certain pills. However, a lot of these categories aren't a problem in the implant, and it's a relatively contraindication-free method of contraception, which basically means that there aren't many conditions that mean you can't have it. Fertility returns really quickly back to normal after you've had it removed. The hormone will completely clear out of your system within a week. As I said, fertility will quickly return to normal if you are interested in trying to conceive. Or similarly, you can have one implant removed and another put straight back in the same day if you'd like to carry on with the contraception. However, obviously, because it is a minor procedure, there are some risks as well. So there is a risk that the implant can be inserted incorrectly. It could break or it could migrate. So it could travel into a blood vessel or travel through the muscle and end up in a slightly wrong place. Now, as I said before, it is really uncommon, but this is something that can be treated by doctors and can be easily spotted if you just have a feel every now and again, similarly to the coil, just to check it's all in the right place. Also, things like bruising, bleeding, scarring, things that are common with any minor procedure, but again, these are all minor and uncommon things to happen. Same as damage to nerves or blood vessels in the area, but these are all quite unlikely things to happen. Other drawbacks of this method of contraception, because it contains a hormone, there are always hormonal side effects. The link between side effects and the implant is very, sometimes people say it's really strong, sometimes people say it isn't, but it may worsen acne. It may cause changes in weight, changes in mood, or changes in libido. And the implant is also one of the contraceptives most known to change bleeding patterns. So they say around 1/3 of people will experience a regular period on the implant. About a fifth will have no bleeding altogether. And then the rest of patients will have irregular cycles. So that could be a bit longer than normal, a bit shorter than normal. They might miss a period. However, if patients are experiencing problematic bleeding in the sense that they're not following a normal cycle, in some cases, a medical professional will give you the pill as well. If you're able to take the pill, give you that for about 3 months, and then it should settle the bleeding. And then if it does, then it may have settled it for good, as sometimes this is just your body getting used to the hormones, or sometimes it may be that you have this irregular bleeding for the whole 3 years. But this is one of the things you don't know until you try the method. Again, similarly to all other methods of hormonal contraception. It won't be protected against STIs. However, you will be protected over 99% against pregnancy. Yeah, I think I've covered all I meant to cover. Victoria, do you have any questions?
So that was really great. The only one question I had that some people might ask is, can you get the implant removed before the end of the 3 years?
Yeah, so if you're having any problems with the implant, you're really not getting along with the side effects, or you decide that you do want to have a baby, all you have to do is book an appointment in with your local sexual health clinic, or maybe even the GP, depending on what's done in your practice, and you can just get it removed. If you want to try something else, you can talk to the person there and then about it. Or if you'd like to be off contraception for a while, then they'll just take it out for you and explain things like how long your regular periods will take to come back, or your fertility. So that can all be explained by a healthcare professional at your local centre.
Fantastic. Yeah, I've got no more questions. I thought that was really great. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I love the matchstick description. I think that's really fitting of what the the coil or the implant feels like. And yeah, just to highlight, it's effective for 3 years. And 99% effective. So that was a great statistic. For the listeners, remember that we have the diagram on Instagram at @virago_voices on how contraception works. And if you haven't listened to episode one, I'd recommend doing that, because it'll make all a little bit more sense what we were talking about with the mucus thickening and the eggs being released. Again, if you're unsure regarding the day of your last, the day of your period that you're on, ask your healthcare professional while they're inserting the implant whether you need contraception or you don't. And if you do experience regular bleeding, always go and see your GP, regardless of kind of what we've said, just in case. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being the first guest on Virago Health. And thank you for your amazing description of the implant. I thought that was really informative and really useful.
No worries. Thank you for inviting me on.
And do you want to give us the handle for your Instagram if anyone's got any questions or wants to give you a call? Sure.
So my Instagram handle is @restudies, R-H-I studies. And yeah, if you've got any questions about what I've spoken about or want to follow my journey through medical school, then you're more than welcome to follow me through Instagram.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Wasn't that great? I wanted to say a massive Virago thank you to Ree from the University of Southampton for all her hard work writing the notes for today's podcast and delivering them so well. I've definitely learned a lot, and I hope you have too. Next week, we're back to just me, boo, and I will be chatting about the pills. I'll be covering the two different types of pills, how they work and what they are. If you have any questions on pills that you want me to cover, contraceptive pills that is, in the next episode, please let me know. If you have any questions about anything in this episode, please DM the Instagram or tag us in your stories. I'll endeavour to answer your questions on the next episode. If you like this episode, please let me know and share with your friends. And subscribe to Virago Voices on Spotify, Apple Music, or whatever other medium you listen to podcasts on. Thank you for listening. As I mentioned before, if you love the podcast, then listen in. If you love the podcast and love free books, then I have something for you. One of the best ways to support Virago Health is to share it. And I wanted to say thank you for those who do. If you share the podcast with one person, I will give you a shout out on the next show and recommend to you one book that I think you will love about an empowering woman. If you share with 15 people, I'll do the same, but send you also a free copy of the book that I've recommended. All you have to do to win these amazing prizes is to sign up with a unique referral link and start sharing. Free books for you and support for this podcast. Check out the link in the bio of the podcast or in the bio of my Instagram to find out more about this. Refer as many people as you can over the festive period and use this holiday to learn lots and lots about women's health. Happy Christmas to all my listeners, and see you in the new year.